Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that's exactly what I want it feeling. Hey, y'all, I ordered a super cool piece. It's a candle with a sculpture of LSU's Tiger Stadium on top of it. And each officially licensed laser-cut wooden replica features up to four layers of detail, creating a bird's-eye view of a specific football field, seating section, and more. And every label includes your stadium's name, the team's logo, and school location. And it has a coconut, soy, vegan wax infused with sandalwood smell that creates tailgates and touchdown scent profile, reminiscent of game day. It's invigorating like fresh-cut grass and nostalgic like smoke from a pre-game grill. In common, like the crisp autumn air of a new semester on campus. Y'all, I love it. I have it at the base of my TV, and I'm ready to watch the Tigers play on Saturday night, right? Uncommon Goods. Look, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. And many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches. So shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts you can personalize. From holiday hosts and hostess gift to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from the book lovers to diehard sports fans, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not the same old selection you can just find anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/RLRC. That's uncommongoods.com/RLRC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, we're going to be beginning, or we're going to have the inaugural of the new series, Hashtag Justice 4. And y'all know, lifers, that we've had the success in the past on solving cold cases using the podcast because of y'all's help. And we're going to do it again, but this is going to be the deepest dive I've ever taken into any case in my career, whether it's in law enforcement or doing it as a podcaster, and even Courtney Coco's case, even though
it went on for years because I went to every court hearing and every motion and everything else because I promised Miss Stephanie that I would. But this case that I'm going to tell you about today is absolutely horrible. It's sickening and it's different. And I have the family with me today. I'm going to introduce them in a second, but I want to tell y'all something. What we're going to do is tell you about the victim and let the family tell you about it, her, et cetera. And then we're going to go into what happened. But before we do that, I'm going to play a 911 call from the day that changed this family's life forever. Okay. And we'll play the 911 call and then we're going to introduce the family.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Hi, I'm at Campus Edge, 950 Hudson Road Southeast. Some guy just came knocking on my door to my apartment saying that his wife is stroking out and hasn't been able to breathe for a few minutes.
Okay, and do you know the apartment to the person that came to your door?
I do not. He got me to call and ran off to try and help her.
Okay, and what's your apartment number?
309.
Okay. Give me 1 second. What's your name, sir?
My name's Austin Meek.
Okay, and what's a good callback number for you?
770.
Okay. Do you know how old the person is?
I do not.
And just to confirm, is she breathing normally? Do you know?
I have no idea. I don't even know where they are. He came up, knocked, and ran off.
Okay. Okay. And you said you don't know what apartment he's in? Is he on your floor?
Yes, I do. They're in apartment 312.
They're in apartment 312?
Yes.
Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Are you there now?
I am. I'm right outside.
Okay, what's going on?
You okay? I don't. She's lying on the ground.
Yeah, thank you. Can you please hold her up?
She's lying on. Is she breathing?
Is she breathing at all, dude?
I don't know. I don't know.
Try and roll her over, dude. Come on.
Roll over, please.
Hey, is she breathing?
Breathe.
It doesn't look like it.
Breathe.
She's
breathe.
She's covered
breathe.
In blood.
Come on, man. Breathe.
It looks like she's bleeding out of her mouth.
Oh, my God. No, baby, please. No. Come on,
give
baby.
Me 1 second.
Please don't die. What the hell? No. Come on.
Pull
her. You got this, baby. Come on.
Pull her shirt down. Pull her shirt down, please.
Come on, baby. Please don't die.
Okay, what's going on?
Oh, my God. No, baby. Please don't.
Ma'am?
Hey, how old is she?
How old is she?
20.
She's 20.
Her head feels like...
Hey, did she take any medicine?
I don't know what the fuck that feels like.
She said her head feels like it's been caved in?
Her head?
Yeah. I mean, her head looks normal.
Who's with her?
Her fiance.
Come on, baby, come here. Come on. You're okay. Come here. Come on, baby, you're okay.
What's going on with her? Is she breathing?
She's not breathing. Her eyes are open and glazed over, and she's covered in blood.
She's covered in blood?
She is covered in blood.
Okay, where'd the blood come from?
It looks like it's coming from her mouth and her nose.
Okay, give me one second. Can you ask the fiance what happened?
Do you know what happened, dude?
No, I don't know what happened, but she was okay, and then... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was okay, and then she, fell down.
He said she was okay, and then she fell down. And
okay, ask him, did she take anything? Okay.
Did she take anything?
No.
He said no.
No. Oh, my God, baby, come on, you're okay. You're okay. I think we need to get to her, a hospital.
We have someone in route.
Okay. She needs to go to a hospital for sure.
Okay, is she breathing now?
She's not breathing.
I don't know. Her head is completely...
Okay, does it look like her chest is rising?
No.
I can't feel
the breath. It's not.
Come on, baby.
Okay, give me one second.
Come on, baby. You're okay. You're okay, baby. Come on. You're
okay, baby. Come on. Okay. What's going on with her, Aiden?
I don't know. There's just blood everywhere, and there's actually blood spattered on the wall by the couch.
Okay. And he said he doesn't know what happened?
He doesn't know what happened. He said she was fine 1 minute, and then she stood up and just fell over.
Okay, give me 1 second. Stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
Hold on, baby. Come on. You're okay, baby. Come on. You're okay.
I'm out. The fire department's here.
Okay. And where's the fiance?
They're still upstairs in the room. He's trying to get her to breathe.
Okay. And just to confirm, you said the blood was on the wall by the couch?
Yes. It looks like a fucking murder scene in there.
Okay, just stay on the line with me. Let me know when fire gets up there with her.
I will. Next one, up. 312. No, up one more. One more flight. The fire department's going into the apartment now.
Okay, just stay on the phone with me until they get up there.
I will.
Aiden, are you still there?
I am.
Okay. And where are you?
I'm out of the way. I'm down at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay, and what's going on?
I'm not sure. I know the fire department's in there, and I know that they just pulled a shotgun out of the apartment and set it to the side and unloaded it.
Okay. Just stay on the line with me, okay?
I will.
And just to confirm, you said they pulled a shotgun out?
That's what it looks like. I can't tell from here. I know it was definitely a gun.
All right. Was it fire that pulled it out?
Yes. Yeah, no one else is here yet.
Okay.
All right, y'all. You just heard what happened.
Aiden, do you know if she's breathing?
I don't. I'm staying completely out of the way.
Okay.
I can't see into their apartment from up here or down here.
Okay, Aiden, I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate you staying on the line with me.
Yeah, it's no problem at all.
Thank you for calling it in.
Thank you for sending somebody out.
No problem.
Right, bye.
All right, y'all. You just heard what happened. So on December 26, 2022, right? And So I'm here before we get into the story and everything that happened and didn't happen, et cetera. I'm here. I'm in hot Atlanta, and it's actually not that hot outside, y'all. I went outside this morning. This was in the '60s, and then in Louisiana, it was 79, but I'm here in a hotel room in the suite. If the sound audio and everything is not perfect, just forgive us, right? It's a lot better than it was than what it was years ago, but you may hear the air conditioner kick on. You may hear whatever noises, just ignore it. And what we're here to do today is tell the story of Haley. So it's hashtag justice for Haley. Okay. And I have Miss Barbara Johnson.
Can you say
hi? Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Haley's mom, Barbara.
Okay. And y'all know I'm bad with names.
Stella. I'm her sister, Stella Johnson.
Right. And?
Oh, Tyler. And, I'm a family friend.
Okay. And I want to thank y'all for coming in. Miss Barbara, you and I have talked for a long time, kind of hit and miss. I was Woody Overton being Woody Overton. And finally, one day, you were Mama Bear, and y'all, just this family is amazing, and the love they have for Haley is amazing. But Miss Barbara kept Mama Bear and kept pushing and checking in, and I was like, you know what, we're gonna do this, and so this is the first one I've done outside the state of Louisiana, and we're here now. I know this is tough, y'all. We're gonna tell you who Haley was and everything, and we'll get to that in a second. But at the end, as we did in the past, I'm going to do a call to action episode, and we'll let you know what we need to do to get justice for Haley. Okay. So Miss Barbara.
Yes.
Stella. Stella and
Tyler.
All right. So we're going to do, y'all, I want to talk about Haley. And then Miss Barbara, you send me some pictures. Haley was beautiful. She looks just like you. Beautiful girl. And I know you're very proud of that. And y'all, I'll post and share the pictures. Always, I have a baby picture all the way to, I assume, to close the time of her murder. I'm not calling it a death. I'm going to lay it out from the beginning. And let me say this. Miss Barbara has provided me with more information than any case that I've ever had. More audio, even some stuff with video and everything else. And we're going to be playing these different things throughout this series when it comes to time, right? So that was one of the determining factors in taking this, is that you had so much information. And y'all, golly, you just stick with it. You're going to be shocked. Miss Barbara, tell me about Haley. What was her date of birth? November 30th,
November 23rd.
23rd, because close to Thanksgiving, right?
2001, yeah.
So she was born in 2001?
Yeah, it was right after 9/11, so.
Wow. And, people say 30 years ago, I'm thinking back to the 70s. And that's only the 90s, and it's the 2001. I was then a detective. I was 31 years old. Wow. So November 23rd, 2001.
Yeah.
And you had her, and
she was perfect.
Okay, tell me about that. I want to know, but everybody needs to know. She comes in this world. My first grandbaby ever. My granddaughter was born last week, right? And this potato came out and all that. I hadn't got to hold her yet. When I leave here, I'm going to San Diego. But tell me about that moment.
And I had her at home. We did
what?
Birth, yeah.
Okay.
And so it was really nice.
Intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she just had a light about her from the minute she came into this world. Yeah. She was just.
Did you know it was going to be a boy or a girl?
No.
Okay, so you were surprised.
Yeah.
So she comes in the world, was she screaming mad?
No, she was.
Really?
No, she was so good. Now, she did have colic later
on. Yeah. I lived through those days too, right?
But in the beginning, she was just happy, and you could see that she was trying to learn things from the beginning.
So she was very smart. People don't realize that. And then everybody says their baby's pretty and stuff like that. Some of them are ugly as hell. but not everybody says their kids are intelligent like that. So I talked about my granddaughter, the nurse and stuff, like saying the same type of thing. She's looking, she's searching, and they said that's a sign of high intelligence. So Haley was doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning. Yeah. She was just inquisitive about everything. You could see her brain working. She was learning things and picking things up. By a year old, she was speaking in sentences.
Really?
Big sentences, but she was speaking in sentences. She was just,
she's a little angel, huh? See, how'd you come up with the name Haley?
Her dad's name was Harley.
So. Okay. All right. So that's cool. We all have those relationships. And so
we called her Haley Bean in the beginning.
Haley Bean. And then what did she have a middle name?
It was Jade.
Haley Jade
Johnson.
Haley Jade Bean Johnson. So she's 1 year old and stumbling around
we went on a flight, which I've never flown before, so I was nervous and worried about everything. She was just as happy as she could be, and so we get on the plane, and naturally there's eye rolls and like, oh god, a baby on the plane.
Oh god, he was screaming the whole time.
Yeah, and everybody is like, by the end of the trip, everybody was talking to her.
Oh, shit. So just a joy, huh?
She was.
So, Stella, when were you born?
I was born like when she was three and a half. She was like 3 and a half.
Okay.
She was still pretty young. She cut my umbilical cord.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. So she was a good big sister.
Oh, the best.
She was just motherly and bossy from the beginning.
Right. So she was excited during the whole pregnancy and everything else. Yeah. And, you know, baby sister's coming. So then you get there and you have a 3.5-year-old cut your umbilical cord. What did she say about that? What did Haley, I like to picture it in my head.
She was so excited. Like, my sister's here. And, you know, she was there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think some of it was maybe a little traumatic. She was, you know, she wanted to be there, so we let her be there. But she's
wow. And then, so from that day on, she's big sis.
She always, like, you know, we had a huge group of friends, and they would, you know, come over. We would watch UFC, we'd have little house parties. And they would bring all their kids, and Haley was just in charge of all the kids. She was just that way.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
When she went
to daycare, she would come home and put all her dolls on the floor and cover them up with a blanket.
Come on. Not like it's nap time.
Very
loving life. Very just.
Oh, yeah.
Describe something else about her personality for me at that young age, and then we'll move on to when Stella remembers.
She was comforting. That's what I remember about her. She was very nurturing and very comforting.
Yeah.
Like, she just knew what to say no matter what you were going through, or like what you were, you know, what you were experiencing. She just kind of knew what to say to make you calm down and get your shit together.
She was always, she was just always just super inquisitive about everything. And that was through her entire life. She always was interested in, you know, if she saw something that she was interested in, she'd research it and look, and she just was always that way. And, you know, we'd be outside and she's down looking at the bugs or the leaves, or look at this or look at that. And she's very, I know all kids do that, but she was very interested in everything that was going on and trying to learn as much as she could.
That's awesome. Right before we get to you, Stella, so she goes to school. Where did she, I mean, I didn't give a shit about school until I had to pay for it myself in college, and then I made straight A's, right? But I hated school. But how was she in school?
She was straight A's.
Really? Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
But once I got sick, things sort of fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. And then, as life happens, right? And then, so Stella, tell me, y'all are young kids. Tell me, you know, some of your favorite memories. You know, let's start with this one. Tell me the time, because every kid gets in trouble. Tell me the time you and her got your worst whooping or something like that. You may not ever get whooped, but what's something that, as not in teenage years when you're young, something that y'all got in trouble for?
Oh, God. I only really, because truthfully, Haley was a very, very good, she respected everyone. She didn't really, get into trouble. Like, most of our, we stole a cookie from the cookie bar.
Right.
Like, we did, stupid little kid stuff, but it's when we got into our teenage years that we really started to give her a hard time, specifically Haley.
I gave my parents hell, and my daddy said, we thought for so many years we were going to have to visit Woody on the cell block, and he ended up putting people on the cell block. I get the teenage years. So teenage years come, and y'all, I guess, as boys or whatever, and how were they as teenagers, Mom?
Everything was great until, we had, I started my own business, and so that was rough at the start. Being a single mom is a lot, and then having that pressure of and so I was stressed, and we were struggling, and I was trying to work more than I wanted to. And so things sort of, we had a little turbulence during that time.
Right.
And she started kind of, acting out a little bit. Yeah. Not really acting out. She just started changing friends and kind of.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody listening that didn't have some kind of teenage year stuff, right? That's human nature. Yeah. My daughters went from being the coolest dude in the world to the dumbest ass in the world. And I get that. So my parents used to go to bed at 9:00 and 9:15 I was out the window. And so that's the way it was. All right, let me ask you this. Favorite food. What is a favorite thing that you cook that you like the most?
Oh, wow.
Or a couple of.
So many.
Yeah. She loved, I make this pasta called summer pasta. She loved that.
Yeah.
Corn,
really?
She's a can of corn.
She goes crazy over creamed corn.
Yeah,
the nastiest stuff.
I like creamed corn. Yeah,
I'll never get it. I can't.
That's cool. That's cool. Cream corn and pasta.
Yeah, and Trader Joe's. She loves Trader Joe's.
Yeah,
pretty much everything from there.
Yeah, pretty cool place. Yeah, right.
We always made a big holiday dinner, so I'd always have to do the whole thing.
Right.
Later on, I didn't always do the turkey, but we did, the stuffing and all
that. Did she ever help you cook and stuff? Or?
Not too much. Yeah. She didn't care for it. But now once she moved out, she started cooking a lot.
Right.
It was really good.
Right. Well, sounds like an all-American girl, huh, Stella? and pretty cool big sister to have.
Yeah, and
she protected me.
She was crazy independent. And she told me from the time she was little, when I get 18, I'm moving out.
I did the same thing. And some people, some people stay home and some don't, right?
It wasn't anything toward me. She wasn't being mad.
Right, she just wanted to be independent.
I just want to do what I'm
doing. Yeah, and I moved her right out into the Army. So she's 18, she moves out, and
back up a little bit. I got sick, really sick. And so
do you mind explaining that to us? Because I heard in some of your materials and stuff about you being sick, and I think it's important. So Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, tell us about your illness.
I had just opened a business about 6 months before, working like crazy, stressed like crazy, and but we were getting by. and the business was starting to pick up. Everything was starting to really look good. One day I started having trouble walking upstairs. So it progressed, and they kept saying, well, you know, it's you hurt your back or whatever, you know. But within a month, I was in Emory Hospital, almost completely paralyzed. And I was there for 4.5 months. When I got home, I couldn't even, if my head fell over, I couldn't even pick my head back up.
Yeah.
But during that time, you know, it was really hard on the girls.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they were used to me doing everything for them and being there. And so they were having to stay with different people. And,
yeah.
You know, it was just really hard.
Hard times.
So, you know, Haley had to learn to adult really quick.
Right. How old would she have been around this time?
She was 16, just turned 16. And so, you know, she would do everything for Stella that Stella needed. She would come visit me in the hospital every night. And that was a 30, 45-minute drive.
Wow.
Every night.
Yeah.
She went to school. She was, you know, helping in the shop. She just, I don't know what, I don't even know how to describe, like, how sweet she was and how much she did and how hard it had to be for her.
Yeah.
You know, and it was hard for me because I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so.
But you know what? She got that work ethic and that love from you. You know that? Yeah. And so I know that. Doesn't make it any easier for you.
She was above and beyond anything I've ever done. She was just, you know, and so it was really, really hard on her. And she wanted to, you know, start homeschooling after I came home so she could be there. And I tried to talk her out of it and, you know, said that we'll just get somebody to come, but nope, she wanted to. And so. She helped me, and I don't know what I would have done or if I would even be able to walk now if it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
I was in a wheelchair for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and so she was, you know, took me to every doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
She, you know, she just stepped up and did everything.
That's amazing. She loved you, huh?
Oh, my gosh. And even after I started walking and driving myself and going to my doctor's appointments, you know, I'd be talking to her on the phone, and she'd, you know, say, I got a doctor's appointment. Well, do you want me to go with you?
Yeah.
No, I'm fine.
Well, she's pretty amazing, Stella.
Mm-hmm. She's the best.
Yeah, she was almost as much a mom to Stella as I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you don't like it when I say that, but she was.
No, she was.
She was a big parental figure to me.
But tell me about that.
A lot of times, mom would have to go off to work so that we'd be able to, like, eat.
Right, I get it.
Yeah. But we'd be left with, you know, our stepdad, and he wasn't the most responsible, so usually Haley had to pick up and feed me and make our little cinnamon toasts and do what we could.
Yeah.
She always made sure that I was okay and fed and happy and getting what I needed.
You can't put a price tag on that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Stella had, she had a lot of, like, OCD issues early on, and Haley would just, you know, really, like, nurture her through that and help her and, you know, explain to somebody else if they didn't understand that she was having a breakdown. You know, she was just...
And Stella, I told you earlier that I grew up with it, et cetera, but when I didn't know it, and long story short, and on the diagnosis of it, you know what the doctor told me? He said, I've never met a person who had OCD that wasn't super intelligent. So put that one in your brain. You say, you have it, own it, okay? Don't let it define you. And I'm sure Haley would tell you the same thing, right?
Yeah, she had some too.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's pretty much a generational thing, yeah. I mean, I get mine from my daddy.
Yeah.
And,
so, mom might have something to you, huh? This season. All right. So, all right. Look, she's a wonderful girl. She's a wonderful sister, a wonderful daughter. Sounds like a wonderful person. And she, at some point, meets Brooks. What's his real name?
Brooks Cleary.
Brooks Cleary. All right. So, do y'all know where they met at?
They They met through, Mazda was dating one of Haley's
friends. And who's Mazda?
I'm sorry. Mazda was their best, or Brooks's best friend, and became one of Haley's best friends.
Right. Okay. And Mazda's a guy?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, they got introduced through Mazda. Something like that, through that group. Right. Okay. So, yeah. What do you remember her telling you about him? In the beginning, I'm sure it was.
She didn't tell me about him. In the beginning, I could see that she was starting to act different. Not a bad way, just a more rebellious way.
Mm.
I've got to run here, run there, and then she'd be gone, for 4 hours when it was a 10-minute trip and things.
Right.
I knew stuff was going on.
Right.
When I first found out about him, she got arrested. They got her together.
Okay. And what did they get arrested for?
Marijuana and paraphernalia.
Right.
Then,
I can see it on you. Yeah, that's a hell of a way to an introduction, right? So you get a call from the jail and she says, Mom, I got arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
she's already grounded and she's, please, it's so day. And she went out and she got arrested. I didn't.
Yeah.
But the thing that, it's not that they got arrested for pot, because kids will be kids.
Right.
It's that Mazda and Brooks let her take the blame for everything because they didn't want to get in more trouble.
Were they were older, they had something they were on paper then. So they were on probation or parole. Yeah. So not to. Just to interject this, one night when I was doing my private consulting, I flew all over the country, and I had a hotel room in New Orleans because I was flying on a private jet the next morning to Maryland. And I get the phone call from the sheriff's office up in Tangipahoa, and I'm not going to say who it was, but they said, is this one belonging to you? And I said, yep. And they said, the sheriff said, you need to come get her. And he said, only you can come get her, right? And it was for weed. So I get that, and then kids will be kids. Yeah. And I missed that flight whatever. So I had the real red ass, too, about it. And so was she living at home then still?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. They get arrested together. And this first time you meet this guy, Brooks Cleary.
Yes.
And
I didn't meet him then.
Right. You got arrested together, right?
I saw him walking out of the jail cell.
No, I saw Mazda.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't see him that day. I didn't even know what he looked like. So not too long after that, she's, I guess, breaching the subject of, do you want to meet him? And
she just,
I'll meet him, but I can't promise anything.
Right.
And so before the meeting, I catch him sneaking out of her window one morning. And not happy.
Okay. Right, right.
There's actually a picture of it.
Really?
She took a picture of
it. Sneaking out the window. Wow.
So, we had a rough start.
Right. That's how you just lay it out. If you want to, lay it out, because this is the chance for the listeners hey, we're all human beings. None of us are perfect.
Yeah. So after that, it was, I didn't like him, but I could see that I wasn't going to be able to keep
right,
him away from
right.
him.
Well, and the harder probably you push, and then, the probably pushed her harder to him, right? So at some point, she moves out.
She kept wanting to spend the night there or him spending the night at my house.
It's progressing.
So, I told her, I said, you're almost 18. When you're 18, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But here we have rules.
Right.
Well, it was about a month before, and I finally, she just blew it up to the point where I said, okay.
Go ahead.
You can go.
Go ahead and get your taste of adulting, right?
Yeah. So she did, and they were very, they were both really angry at me at first. He was really angry.
Why is he mad at you? Why is he mad at you?
Because I wouldn't let him stay.
Because you were being a parent?
Yeah, because I wouldn't let him stay.
a mom. You're being a good mom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He came over and cussed at you?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
They were coming to get some of her things, and, you know, she and I weren't really arguing, but, you know, she wasn't happy, and I was trying to talk to her, and right. He started getting in the middle of everything and cussing at me, and, you know.
Classy.
There was a point where I was kind of scared of him at that moment, but.
Did he start screaming at you? I wasn't here for this.
Yeah, he was in a different part of the house, but yes, he was definitely screaming.
But about how tall is he? Because that's one thing I couldn't judge from the videos.
I think he's
taller
than me.
I think he's
5'10". Okay. All right. Anyway, he's like, what, 150, 160, something like that?
Pretty fat.
But no.
Okay.
200.
No, it's just you can say whatever you want to say. That's,
he puffed up because he drank so much.
Yeah.
He got big.
Toward the end, he was drinking so much. Yeah. He just got really bloated.
And we'll get into that part, too, because I'm going to talk to y'all about some things on that. So, they move out and they move into his mom's house, correct?
Right.
And then at some point they get an apartment.
Well, they came back and stayed with me for a little while.
Okay.
I just couldn't tolerate him. Yeah. He wouldn't even take the trash out. He wouldn't do anything.
Lazy.
He didn't ask. He stayed in the room. He came out to get food or whatever.
He sent me to go get food. He wouldn't go around the dog, so he sent me to go get him food.
Hey, Stella, you tell me when he moves in, you're happy your sister's coming home, I would guess, but he moves in. Did you hang out with him?
I would always just try to get, like, alone time with Haley, but obviously he was, like, always there, and it was just, like, the annoying, like, pest on the side, but you just kind of let it, like, be.
Mm-hmm.
But I more so just wanted to spend time with my sister, and I was happy she was there, but his behaviors were starting to really just piss me off.
His true colors were showing.
Yeah, and, I mean, I didn't like him anyway, but I tried to, because Haley loved him, so I tried to also convince myself that, like, it's fine, like, you know, it'll be fine. But he just, I mean, his true colors showed.
Tell me about this, and I can already tell you, but I think what they would be, but obviously Haley was in love with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
But the way he treated her was he controlling or domineering, jealous?
He didn't let her wear shorts. He didn't let her have any friends, whether that was female or male.
He didn't let her wear shorts.
He made a girlfriend. He called them a lesbian, and that they were just trying to get in her pants, and that she shouldn't talk to them.
Really? So that's like a controlling issue, right? Yeah. Like, if I can keep everybody away from her, I can have total control. She has to depend on me,
right?
Or he's also afraid that she's going to meet someone and they're going to be like, you can do better than this guy, right? At that time, did you ever hear verbal abuse or see any physical abuse?
No, it was more just
controlling.
And the final straw at the house, Haley, I had a doctor's appointment. Half the time he would sleep till 12 or 1 o'clock, you know, and sometimes 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock, and I would have to go pick her up a lot. But I had a doctor's appointment in Atlanta, and so she got off work, and I said, well, call him, make him get up. Well, he won't wake up. I said, well, just stay there and I'll be there. And she goes, no, I'm going to walk. That girl walked 5 miles home because he wouldn't get out of bed to go.
Wow.
In the pouring rain.
Wow.
So I didn't just like go home and kick them out, but I told her, I said, you always have a place with me, but
he's got to go. Right. Nothing. 5 miles in the rain because.
Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Gobble. All Gobble meal kits are pre-prepped. That means less work for you and less waste in your kitchen. Their meal kits include everything you need so you can save time at the store or just skip that trip entirely. I got the box in and I had 3 different meals. I had Kung Pao chicken, crispy fish tacos, and a beef bourguignon, however you say it. But let me tell you about the classic beef
bourguignon. Look, it came with beef pot roast and a beef broth concentrate, red wine demi-glace, cremini mushrooms, cipollone onions, mashed potatoes, baby carrots, and rosemary thyme butter. It was so easy to make. Literally like 15 minutes it took Cindy. And let me tell you something, all the dishes were fire, but this thing was like a taste explosion in my mouth. It's just unreal. We've got to spend more time together and more time doing the things we love because everything came in this one single box right to my door. So see what a difference Gaba will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. You get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. And let me tell you, those cookies, I ate one that was sin-baked, and it was delicious. Go to gobble.com/real life. That's gobble.com/real life for $120 off your first four boxes. This offer is not available on the home site, so don't miss out. This is genius. It's taste explosions in your mouth like you never had.
Hey, y'all, you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
He wouldn't get out of
bed. Yeah, so I guess he wasn't working. Yeah.
He barely worked the whole time.
I saw, and we'll get into it. He has some audio later on, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, well, I worked as a at the car wash, basically." That's the right. They didn't see he had like a couple jobs for like a month or two or whatever. And okay, look, I'm getting ahead of myself. So then they go to stay with his mama.
Well, no, then they got their apartment.
Okay, all right.
So I gave them time, and they, you know, found an apartment and got their own apartment, which that's what Haley wanted all along.
Right. Let me back up. So when they were living with his mom, and I want to get this out there because it goes to Haley's character again, and we don't have to go into detail, but his sister has severe, pretty, I would say, is handicap the right word? Or whatever
I think they
challenge,
I think
or
they
whatever.
Call it,
infantile autism. I think is what she's diagnosed with.
But like Haley, from what I reviewed, Haley would like bathe her and and take change her diapers and do all this stuff.
She's 30 years old, but she's like a 3-year-old.
And then and they said every time Haley would come around, even though she was like blind, right? She wasn't blind. Okay. But so I thought somebody said she was blind, but every time Haley would come around, she would get excited and par for the course. And so they're back with you and you tell them, hey, he's got to go. And then so they go out and they get the apartment. It's at the old college town part, that first apartment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's the same apartment complex, but they got the first.
They moved from the one without a washer and dryer into another one that had a washer and dryer, right? How long did they stay there for before the murder?
I think it was probably maybe 2.5 years. And she loved her apartment. She loved being an adult in her own apartment, doing her own thing, cooking, decorating how she wanted to. She loved it. Loved it.
Stella, did you ever go over there and hang out? Man, I remember when my old brothers and sisters got condos at LSU. I thought, oh, that's a big time. Yeah. Well, you go over there and have fun, right?
Right. Yeah. I could actually.
Mom's not taking offense. She knows.
But, you know, I don't think he wanted Stella to come over as much as she did.
That goes back to the controlling part.
Yeah. She made it very clear to him. She told him many a time that if it ever came down to it, that she's choosing me over him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the deal breaker.
Yeah. Right? But she still loved him. It's just she chose family over him. Anyway. Yeah.
Right. Well, so they're there. 2.5 years, that's a while. So how old were you then, Stella?
By the time she got her apartment?
Well, that's 2.5 years. 16? You're 3.5 years old. So you were a teenager.
That was like 15.
Almost 15. Okay. And then life goes on. They had the relationship. Were you ever aware of any type of physical abuse or anything like that?
Toward the end, we started. I mean, and she would never say he hit her or anything. She did tell us one time she came to stay at the house. And they were supposedly going to break up, which I was really happy about. But she said that he had. She grabbed the keys to keep him from driving because he was drinking a lot, and he pushed her in the bathtub, and she was pretty bruised up from that. So,
she told me about it all.
She wouldn't tell me. She
Stella, do you mind?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it came out in sisterhood, but it was the bathtub time was the second time, but these were the only times she told me. I saw them fight a lot, and sometimes I'd see her have something that looked like a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very obvious that he wasn't being treated properly by him, but she told me many, two stories that really stuck. One of them, she was drunk and she was trying to fight him for the keys so that he wouldn't, you know, like kill himself behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And he got really pissed and like threw her on the ground and took the keys. And then left. And then another time he grabbed her and shook her really hard to get her to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And then walked away. And then the other time where he pushed her into the bathtub, I think he locked her in the bathroom and she was banging on the door trying to get out. And then he opened it really fast and like threw the door against her really fast to where she went flying. She was a small girl.
Mm-hmm.
He was big at the time, so she just went flying into the bathtub and like couldn't walk properly for like a week because her back was all bruised.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the times that I mainly remember. Oh, that was at their mom's house, at Brooks's mom's house. She got really, really skinny for a while because Dana didn't have any food. And
that's his mom, Dana. Yeah.
I think a lot of it was he wanted her to be skinny.
He wanted her to be skinny.
Yeah.
So, she lost. She got down to like 90 something.
She looked
skin and bones. It was bad for a while.
How tall was Haley?
She was 5 feet.
Five feet. And 5 feet and had to run around the shower to get wet, huh? She's skinny at that time, right? Yeah. But a pistol, and like you said, from what I researched, et cetera, she, towards the end at least, was paying all the bills. Like she worked and
she was getting tired of it.
Yeah.
She was finally starting to get tired of it. You know, she had to go to work with COVID. She had to go to work with a broken toe because if she didn't, they would lose everything. So, you know, she was starting to get tired of it.
So how old was she in December 26, 2022?
She had been 21 for a month.
All right. Y'all, we played the 911 tape at the beginning of the episode. And so you know, obviously, what happened on December 26th, according to Brooks Cleary. And I'm going to get into each piece of that, and we're going to break it down in the series and episodes.
Okay, y'all, you just heard the first episode of Hashtag Justice for Haley. And again, I apologize for any audio issues when I was with the family because we were in a hotel room in Atlanta. It is very important that you like and share these episodes as they go on, because in the end, we're going to do a call of action just like we did in the past. And, you know, it's a beautiful family. She's a beautiful girl. I have her picture on my bedside now, just like I did Courtney Coco's for all those years. So Haley's the first thing I see in the morning when I wake up and the last thing I see before I go to sleep. And it's important. She's a very, very real, loving young lady who was murdered. And it's just a bizarre story, how it transpired. I actually think it's some of the best legal work that I've ever seen, because, from the detective standpoint, they did almost everything correctly. And I, as the story goes along, I tell you what happened and didn't happen as far as the murder charges go. And that's what we're ultimately working for, is an indictment for the murder of Haley. Okay. So love and appreciate each and every one of you, and all the extra materials that we talked about, the videos and all that stuff, we're going to be put up for Patreon and Convicts. If you want to subscribe, of course, they're going to be tasteful as tasteful as you could be when you're showing it and listening to that kind of stuff. But if you want to subscribe to be a patron member, go to patreon.com, type in Real Life Real Crime. We have different levels, et cetera, or download the Real Life Real Crime community app, and you can subscribe through there. And I affectionately call those members convicts in the app. And the Real Life Real Crime community app has so much more stuff on it. It has all the episodes. It has games. It has, forums and everything else, and merch store and all that. In Real Life Real Crime Daily Show is dropping two more episodes this week. And then it's done. We'll talk about that on the show that's coming out on Tuesday also, Jim Chapman and I. I am going to be doing True Crime Time for blank for whichever day of the week. That's how I start every one of those shows. And Cindy is going to be my co-host. So y'all tune into that. We have a lot of new stuff, a lot of new segments, if you will. And it's kind of like the day of the show, but different and a different host. And we're bringing everything back home to the Overton family and you going back to our roots. Okay. So thank you again for listening, and continue to listen to Hashtag Justice for Haley. It's just a mind blowing story, and it's a beautiful family and they need justice. Right. And I'm Woody Overton, the host of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. Till next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF, Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.